hath made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Brian. How's everybody? Everybody have some rain this week? Yeah, we're having a little bit, I'm sure. Did you get any rain this week, Kim? A little bit. Well, maybe you'll get a little bit more. So, I'll tell you what. Let me turn that down just a little bit. One, two. Why do people on sound systems never go past two? It's the two. All right. Today I want to just talk to you about the normal Christian life. I want to talk about something that all of us can do. I don't want to talk about pastors and evangelists and teachers and faith healers or movie stars who claim to be Christians. I want to talk about something the average, normal Christian is capable of doing. To lay a foundation, let me just say I think that we as followers of Jesus Christ really sell short the benefits of being a believer. We really don't experience all that God has for us. Would you agree? Well, what do you think that we should have? What are some of the things that you think a normal Christian should be able to enjoy because they're a Christian? Inner peace. Joy. Okay. Now, let me just ask this question. Gail, you kind of hit something. Anybody here have really enjoy a lot of inner peace? A few. Not everybody. Do we experience the joy of being a believer? Well, some do. But I think there's something else I think that would be very... I hope this thing's not getting ready to die on me. No, it's still got plenty in it. Still got plenty. I do think that we sell short the benefits of being a believer. Remember, as I said last week, we are blood-bought. Let me be old-fashioned here just a minute. Blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled children of the God of the universe. That's who we are. And I know that many times in our culture that Christianity is overlooked and even ridiculed, particularly after a week like we've seen this week in the news. A lot of things have come out, and Christianity's kind of taken a hit. And there's a lot of Christians, because of what's going on, would kind of step back a little bit right now. Now's not the time to step back. I have enjoyed watching cricket, particularly international cricket. And then, I think I've used this illustration before. When you've got a batsman who's on the back foot, what's he doing? He's just blocking. He's not wanting to advance or move forward. He's just protecting. But when you get on the front foot, well, you know he's going for something. You know he's going to score. And often I think Christians are standing on the back foot, kind of going, trying to protect. No. 1,000 times no. We should step out confidently, not arrogantly. The Bible says of Jesus that he was meek, and meek is not some milquetoast pansy. Meek is quiet, yet powerful, confident. That's what we're supposed to be as Christians. Confident in the knowledge that God is going to provide for us, and he's going to open doors for us, and the Holy Spirit's going to empower us to do what he wants us to do. We need to have that confidence, do we? If you don't, hang on for the next month or so. We're going to talk about some of those things, but that's just a snapshot of what's coming. But as I said last week, we have no idea the incredible power that God has placed at the disposal of followers of Jesus. You and I have the ability within us, through Jesus, to change our world. Oh, and by the way, that's the normal Christian life. That's not some pastor or teacher or evangelist. That's the normal Christian life. And that includes you. If anybody want to fill that if in? Well, that's a big one, Wendy, if we do something about it, but that's step 2 and 3, I think. But the first one is, if we believe. Well, you might say, well, that one's easy. No. Listen to me. Do you really, with all that's within you, believe that Jesus is who he said he is? And he came to change the world, and he wants to change the world through us. Do you believe that? Then is the time now for us to do something about it. Now, this belief I'm talking about, this is not some family belief. You did it because it's what your family did. And it's not a belief just because you wanted to get your fire insurance paid up and not have to worry about hell. And it's not a belief that's something you did just because it seemed like the thing to do at the time. It's a belief to where you have made a conscious evaluation of the claims of Jesus Christ, and when you understand what he says, you realize that you need a Savior, and he's the Savior. Is that the kind of belief that you have? Well, if it is, you're probably going to enjoy the rest of this message today. But if not, you need to get serious about your belief. Do we believe in Jesus because of who he is? Well, the second question is, do we love him? Is he really all that important to us? Well, come on now, is he? Is Jesus really an important part of your everyday life? Is he? Well, that's kind of getting into next week's, but the whole point is this. Jesus needs to have an important part in our everyday living. All right. Now let's get into some of the things that every Christian can do. If you remember last week, we looked in John chapter 15, and he made this incredible promise. He said, if you abide in me, then you'll have much fruit. I shouldn't ask the question, how many of us have spiritual fruit in our lives? such as seeing people come to Christ, which is spiritual fruit. He says, if you abide in me, then you'll have much fruit. And he also says, without me, you can do nothing. So it's pretty clear. It's very extreme. With him, we can have spiritual fruit. Without him, we could do nothing. Then he said those words that all of us know. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it will be done. What an amazing promise. What an amazing promise. If his words abide in us and we abide in him, then we can ask what we will and it's going to be done. But today, we're going to look at another comment that Jesus made that sounds very, very similar to that one. Jesus is having a conversation with the disciples, and he and Philip have a little bit of interaction. And Jesus makes this phrase. Go with me to John chapter 14. We're going to read verses 6 through 14. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes into the Father except through me. Can I have an amen in that? Okay. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, I can't understand this question, but anyway. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it is enough for us. Okay, we won't get into the merits of that. But Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you still don't know me, Philip? Can you hear his frustration? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Wow! Isn't that amazing? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. Help us to open it up. Have a look what Jesus is talking about. Help us to see what you intend for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll notice the phrase that he said that connected to last week. Verse 12 and 14, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. He said that over and over and over. He wants you to get it. He wants you to get it. Now look closer. Verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Remember, I asked you at the first of this message, do you believe? Jesus is talking about you here. And he just said that whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. That means if you believe in him, you and I'm going to put myself in that category too, okay? We can do the works he did. Isn't that amazing? Nobody's getting excited about this. I mean, he did quite a lot. I mean, it's kind of exciting to listen to things and read things that Jesus did. And he just said, we're going to do them too. I'm not talking about pastors and evangelists and Bible study teachers or whoever. I'm talking about you and me. And we're just talking about Christians, the average Christian. Now, what works did he do? Well, when we, if you're anything like me, and you probably are, or some of you are, when you hear this, the works he did, I will do. Well, immediately, you know, him healing the sick and raising the dead comes to mind. Anybody here do the same thing? Come on, be honest with me. Did you think that? Because, oh boy. Well, there's a problem with that. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 12. Let's let Paul give us a little insight into that one. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 11. Let me just read it to you. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirit, to another differing kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works in all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So basically what he said, no, healing and miracles is not available to everyone who believes. Did he just say that? So what Jesus said, he who believes in me will do my same works, miracles and healing is not part of it. Paul just excluded that. Okay? There's a few people that God will bless with those gifts, but not everybody. So Jesus wasn't saying that all of us were going to do miracles and healings. And I went, doggone. So, but that just kind of, if he's not talking about miracles and healing, well, what's he talking about that all of us can do? Go back with me to John 14. Verse 10 and 11. Jesus' response to Philip, do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The works that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Now watch closely. Or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Jesus' question to Philip gives some insight into his thinking. It's obvious that Philip had some doubts about Jesus from just his words. So Jesus says, look at my works and then believe. Verse 11, believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works. So Philip, if you don't accept me for my words, believe in me because of my works, right? Well, whatever works that Jesus is making reference to, he just said, if you will look at my works, then that will point to belief in me, right? Can we say that of ourselves here? Is it possible that Jesus is saying, when people see our works and hear our words, it will point to belief in him? Is it possible he just said that? Could it be that the remarkable work that he has for every single believer is that people can see your works, hear your words, and it automatically points them to Jesus? You see, every one of us is included in that. If that's the works that he did that we can do, folks, you and I can change the world as he changed his world. Think about that. No, it's not healing and raising the dead. No, it's far better than that. It's changing the world. You and I, through our lives can point people to Jesus and change our world. You're probably going to hear me say it again because I really want to nail that down. Let me just make it personal. When people that you know see your life and they hear your words, does that point them to Jesus? You need to ask yourself that question. Folks, I need to ask me that question. When people hear what I say, hopefully on Sunday morning I point people to Jesus, okay? Well, that's what I'm supposed to be doing as a preacher. But throughout the week, when people hear what I say and they look at my life, can they see Jesus? You see, that's how we change our world around us. And Jesus said every one of us can do that. But not only that, he said, greater works than these shall you do. So we have greater potential than he did. Now, that's quite amazing, isn't it? Well, how in the world can we have greater potential than Jesus? Well, he goes on to say, because I go to my Father, and we'll talk about that next week and for the next month. Something about this Holy Spirit that's coming down, all right? It's already here. Will empower us to do things that'll just to change our world. So folks, I said all of that to say this. I want you and I to evaluate ourselves. If this works that Jesus is talking about, if he says, if you believe in me, you will do the same works that I do. If this means looking at our lives to point to Jesus where somebody's life can be changed, if that's what he meant, we need to be about that, don't you think? That's why it's so important, folks. I want you to hear me. That everything we do is to win the right to point people to Jesus. I was reading Lloyd Jones's, he was the chaplain of Westminster. He was in Northern Ireland, and all the people wanted to start moving towards social action, kind of where things are today. He said, no, we need a revival. Folks, we don't need to get involved in social work. We need a revival of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And if social work wins us the opportunity to point people to Jesus, then we get involved in social work with that goal. If it does not open the door to point people to Jesus, we don't need to be wasting our time on the social work. Would you agree? It needs to be for a purpose, and that purpose is win the right to share Jesus with someone. And I was thinking about this taking a shower this morning. So this is shower theology. Often when we do something really, really good, a social something, it makes us feel good about ourselves, doesn't it? And sometimes when we do something for somebody, we feel good, and we say, well, that's just wonderful. I'll need to do that again. And we forget to look for the opportunity to share Jesus. That's where we drop the ball, folks. Can I say that's where I drop the ball? When we do something for someone else, let's follow through and point them to Jesus. Then we can see their life totally transformed. I'm not talking about behavior modification. I'm talking about transformation of a life. And only Jesus can do that. So in closing, I believe that the works that all believers can do is to point others to Jesus. Just like Jesus' words and works made it obvious to Philip that he was who he said he was, then every believer, our words and work should make it obvious that Jesus is our Lord and Jesus is the only answer. That is the normal Christian life. Oh, and while we're doing that, don't forget that we have the most powerful force in the universe supporting us everywhere we go. That is amazing. Folks, we need to start influencing people for Jesus. So Jesus put it this way, John 14. Believe, verse 11 and 12, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Do you believe that? Well, let's just do it. Well, how do you do that? I think Wendy nailed it on the head. Just get involved and do something. But here's a little thing to think about. In your day-to-day life, and this is what I have to do as well, look for the opportunity to point people to Jesus. Humbly, yes. Arrogantly, please don't. Humbly point people to Jesus because he can change their life. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for this passage of scripture that Jesus, of his conversation with Philip. Lord, I've often sat and scratched my head wondering, well, what are these works that we're supposed to be able to do? What are they? Father, I thank you for making it clear that the real works that every believer can do, me included, is to live a life where others can see Jesus in me. Father, I pray that every single one of us will take advantage of that opportunity that you have to change the world around us. And Father, I know that your Spirit, your power will be there with us. So help us to take advantage of those opportunities when you give them to us. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Have a good week. And keep looking for the opportunity.